Thanks for tuning in to The 21st. I'm Mary Hansen. Over the past few years, efforts have been gathering steam to get the Springfield 1908 race riot site recognized as a national monument. The riot, which some call a massacre, led to the founding of the NAACP. Advocates are also pushing for the Julius Rosenwald House, which is in the Lincoln Home National Historic Site, to become part of a group of national historic sites. Rosenwald was a Jewish philanthropist who funded thousands of schools for African-American children in the segregated South. These efforts are a step in the right direction, but what would historians and advocates like to see done to recognize Black history in Springfield? For more on this, I'm joined on the line now by Catherine Harris, who's the president of the Abraham Lincoln Association. Teresa Haley is also with us from Springfield. She is the president of the Illinois chapter of the NAACP. Both of you, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Catherine, I want to start with you. Can you tell us more about who Julius Rosenwald was and why he's an important figure in Illinois history?
Well, Julius Rosenwald was born here in Springfield in the Lincoln neighborhood in 1862. He grew up and spent his boyhood years here. However, we know him as the as one of the founders of Sears and Roebuck and the catalog that we all used to call the Wish Book growing up. And he made his mark, however, due to his philanthropy. Certainly, being the president of Sears and Roebuck, he became very wealthy, and he made his mark in American history through his philanthropy, through the construction and helping to build nearly 5,000 schools in the segregated South.
And so how was Rosenwald influenced by Lincoln?
I think that that influence came because of the qualities that because of the qualities that Mr. Lincoln has, one of which, and for sure, in my opinion, was the idea, the thought that everyone had the ability to rise. And he felt that if Negroes, that's the term that was in use at the time, had the ability to rise, that they would, the conditions would improve, and he found the ability to rise through education. It's ironic that Mr. Lincoln, his education in total would have maybe amounted to maybe the third grade, but he became probably the most significant, one of the most significant persons in American history, despite all of the hardships that he had in his life. Mr. Rosenwald was a man in the who became a man who lived in the lap of luxury, but he gave back. He gave back so that others could achieve their own degree of greatness.
And so I understand there are efforts underway to establish a national park in his honor. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
That is a, in fact, it's a, would be a three, what would you call it, a three-prong effort, with a part being here in the Lincoln neighborhood, which is already a National Historic Site. And so his home, which is currently administrative offices for the National Park Service, and there would be a portion of that in Chicago and a portion also out on the East Coast where there is, the National Trust for Historic Preservation would be involved as well. So those three areas would help to make and bring Julius Rosenwald recognition.
And so there's a bill in Congress right now to study the possibility of that, of those national historic sites. And there's also a bill to look at establishing the 1908 race riot site as a national monument as well. And Teresa, I want to talk a little bit about the race riot site with you. Can you remind us a little bit of the history of the site?
Well, in 1908, there was a race riot here in Springfield, Illinois, that led to the establishment of the NAACP. a white woman lied and said that she was raped and identified black gentlemen as the rapist. Later, she recanted her story and said that's not what happened. So that's what led to the start of the race riot in the NAACP. Several homes were burnt. Several people lost their lives because someone lied. So it was a serious issue.
And so, Catherine, can you talk a little bit about the significance of being able to see, as Teresa mentioned, there's these archaeological remnants of the of these burned out homes in Springfield. What's the significance of being able to see them versus just, you know, sort of hearing about them or reading about them?
I'm going to answer this in kind of a curious way. One of the things that I do is I do a first-person presentation of Harriet Tubman, and I've had people tell me that once they have seen that presentation, they tend to remember more about her, and from my helping her to become alive. And I think that seeing the remnants, the archaeological remains of the race riot that happened here in Springfield, I think that will make a significant impression on people, more so than just reading it in a book or hearing people talk about it. So I think the visual part of it truly makes it come alive. It kind of transports you back in your mind to imagine what it might have been like to have experienced that horrible event in our city's history.
And so, Teresa, there are efforts to make this recognized as a national monument. What sort of difference would it make to have it recognized on that scale, and why should it be nationally recognized?
It should be nationally recognized because it's a part of our history. The NAACP is the oldest civil rights organization in the world. We've been around here in Springfield as a result of the race riot 112 years, so that's significant in itself. And just the fact that when they were doing the additional archaeological dig, that they discovered five additional houses. When you go to the Library of Congress or you go to Washington, D.C. to the African American History Museum, there are pictures and there are stories that talk about the race riot, but there are no artifacts. So to have something tangible on board for people to see, read, and explore brings that vision to life as well. So we're excited about the fact that getting this not only on the registry, but making this a reality for all of us. And we in the NAACP, yeah, it was called a race riot because of the time, but we truly see it not as a massacre, but we see it as a terrorist attack. Just think about it. Innocent people are in their homes and in their businesses, snatched out of their homes, shot and hung in trees. That is a terrorist attack when somebody is attacked without any type of warning, not a massacre.
And so, Catherine, sort of thinking about that that history, how could we? How do you think about weaving that together with the conversation about Lincoln and with the history of Lincoln in his hometown of Springfield?
Well, I think that Mr. Lincoln would be very embarrassed that this happened in his own hometown, and I think that is what makes the story of the race riot all the more memorable, because it happened right here in the home of the, quote, great emancipator. But much as Teresa has said, it was indeed a terrorist attack up on us. And I think that anytime you can draw attention to that event, and if attention is drawn through the creation of a national park, I think that just raises the significance and the importance of the story to not only Springfield and Illinois history, but much as Teresa has said, national history, because the NAACP is indeed the oldest, the baddest, and the most respected civil rights organization certainly in the United States, if not indeed around the world, because people have patterned activities that they do around the world after events and actions that the NAA has taken in order to bring about change.
And so, Teresa, I think one of the when you come to Springfield, you know, it's a lot about Lincoln. There's the history, there's the historic site, there's the presidential library and museum, but Do you think that the conversation should be about more than Lincoln? Should we be having conversations and highlighting history beyond Lincoln?
I do believe that that should take place, and it's already starting to take place, because on Abraham Lincoln's ground site, we have the Race Riot Monument. We actually have two statues sitting right across the street from the Presidential Museum and Library. So that is a start. We also have banners hanging downtown Springfield. When people came in for the last governor's inauguration and everything was shut down because of what was happening in D.C., I started personally telling people about our rich history here in Springfield. And you would be amazed that people who live right here in Springfield don't even know our history. People who came from Chicago for their fifth grade or eighth grade school trips, field trips, aren't aware of the history of the NAACP, because it was that history that no one wanted to talk about because of the shame and embarrassment. But it's our history, and if we don't talk about it, we're bound to repeat it.
And so at the end of last year, we had on Stacey Grundy on our program. She's the vice president of the Root History Museum and Shop in Springfield. And I just want to play a clip from our conversation with her.
Springfield is known for Abraham Lincoln and, you know, and more recently the race riots. But it has such a rich history of the people, the everyday people who lived and walked the streets. And so that's kind of what Root History tries to do. We try to bring out those stories of those everyday people so that the children, you know, children and adults and everyone can see this is the history of your community. And so this is the legacy that was laid before you.
That was Stacey Grundy from the Root History Museum in Springfield. Teresa, what's your reaction to what she's saying? Do you agree that we need to be putting more emphasis on the individual stories as well as the ones that we've already been discussing?
I think we need to focus on all of it. All of it is a part of our history. But if you don't know your past, you're bound to repeat it. So I think the NAACP and the race riot that led to the establishment of the NAACP is a great start for all of us. And then you can add in that other history because, yes, Black folks migrated to Springfield from the Great South and have done great things, but a lot of folks left Springfield after the race riot. So I think it's important for us to share all parts of our history.
And what do you think, Catherine?
Oh, I certainly agree with her, because we need to tell the story of our city. And oftentimes the story from in reference to the NAACP and the African Americans is not told. But we have to tell the story, warts and all. And even though the race riot could be considered a wart, there was good to come out of it, which was indeed the founding of the NAACP.
And
may I add something?
Sure, please.
I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate Teresa Haley as being recognized by the NAACP with the Image Award for being an activist. Because I think her work has helped draw attention to Springfield, our role in history, and many of the steps that we have made forward, not only as her being our local president, but also our state president as well. And I'd just like to congratulate you, Teresa, on that.
A very warm congratulations to you, Teresa. Thank you both so much for joining us. Catherine Harris is the president of the Abraham Lincoln Association in Springfield. We also spoke with Teresa Haley, who's the president of the Illinois chapter of the NAACP. Thank you again for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can follow The 21st on Twitter, search 21st Show. We also live tweet during the show with more analysis and background about what we're talking about. All of the links from the stories and things that we've covered, and every other way to contact us, if you would like to leave us a voicemail, send us an email, or follow us on social media, just go to our website, 21stshow.org. We've also got all of our past shows there. You can also find us most places you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts and NPR One. Search for The 21st. We're produced by Libby Foster, Anna Casey, and Julian Haida. Eunice Alpashot is our intern. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thanks to the band Public Access for their theme music. I'm Mary Hansen. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.